Hello again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and the Lord has got me in another direction for the past 8 tapes at least. I've been doing a series on a piece of literature that the Lord gave me entitled Another Pearl Harbor. This is part 8 today of Another Pearl Harbor, and we have a couple of letters. And the letters are from where?
India and Africa.
India and Africa. There's a lot of people say, well, what about God? Does he care about the people in Africa, in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa and India? There's more godly people in Africa than there is here in the United States, and we have like hundreds of people there that are distributors of my literature and tapes and Bibles that we send to them. And there's very few people in the United States that are on the right doctrine. I see millions of people here that are in the fallen away, quote, church, unquote. There's millions of them that are into religion and into this false Christianity, the fallen away church, which has joined the Antichrist because they love false doctrine. They're into religions that believe they like false religions because these false religions, such as Roman Catholicism, tell them that they can sin like the mafia. They can kill, murder somebody, and then come in at nighttime and light a candle, and that the candle will take away their sins. Or they can go and confess to some reprobate child molester that's behind a screen and tell them, Father, I have sinned. I have murdered several people, and I have also committed fornication and adultery with other men's wives, and so I'm pleased for you. All right, you go say it was some Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and how much money have you got? Throw it in the till over here. Okay, I will do that. That's a religion that a lot of phonies like to belong to, you know, candles cannot take away sin. Saying Our Fathers or Holy Marys or anything like that can take away sin. The Bible says that the only thing that can take away sin is the blood of Jesus. But this is one thing that this phony religion will not tell you. And that the Bible says for you to go and sin no more. And the Bible also tells you that, you know, once Christ enters into your body with his Father, by the Spirit, that you have the power to not sin anymore. But you don't want to stop sinning because you are sin-loving people. And you're hypocrites and liars. And, you know, there's got to be somebody tell you. And I guess the job is left up to me. It's such a thankless job. You know, very few people in the world out of the billions. Now, I get thousands of people that thank me. But out of the billions, you'd think there would be millions and millions of people thanking me to tell them, because I'm telling them how to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling them the straight and narrow way there is to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says that you have to be productive, that you have to do something for the Lord every day, not listen to Chunky Cheesecake or the chipmunks and things like that. That's for little tiny kids can do that kind of stuff. But when people grow up and they're they've reached the age of puberty, and they have reached the age of awareness of what the Lord requires of them, they're not allowed to sit around all day and do things like that. But you're to take up the cross and deny yourself watching Chunky Cheesecake and, the chipmunks and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and all the other fantasies that people like so much, Porky the Pig and Bugs the Bunny and all these different characters. And so you say, well, you don't like that because you're not a Gentile, idol worshiper like us. Yes, I don't like you either. God doesn't like you either. And that's the most important thing you should worry about, is not as to whether I like you or not. I like you enough to tell you the truth about the gospel so that you can repent and so that you can get right with God and so that you can go to heaven. But you don't like that. That seems you've made me your enemy because I'm telling you the truth. How evil can you possibly get? You can't get more evil than that, or you can't get any more warped in your thinking than that. But anyway, we have a couple of letters here. But before that, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to open up your demented minds with His Spirit and open up your reprobate heart so that His Holy Spirit can enter into you. And He can do that, you know. He's come into some of the most demented people. I can testify to that. I was once a demented person and a reject of God. And the Lord did that to me around 41 years ago. And so if He could do it with me and also the Apostle Paul, He can do it with you. So be of good cheer. There's still hope for you as long as you're alive, unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that is to deny His word and to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, or to take the mark of the beast. In other words, to join in with the one world government, cult, and media, and believe them over the Lord. That is a big no-no, because there's no forgiveness for that in this world, nor is there any forgiveness for that sin in the world to come. So let's all pray that God will open up your reprobate weasel hearts and minds so that you can receive the truth, and also that your heart will open enough to receive the Lord Jesus Christ with His Father by the Spirit, that you can get saved. Because just think, it's a wonderful world. To me, it was so wonderful when the Lord came down and talked to me that there's more than this world. It was so pleasing to me. I thought, everything is over with. There's nothing in the whole universe or anything, because there is no God. And then God showed Himself to me in an extremely supernatural way. And you can get a copy of my literature or request a copy of my testimony tape. And we'll definitely cheerfully send it to you. We don't charge any money for these things. And you'll see that there is something much better than this world. There is the world to come, the kingdom of heaven. And it's real. And I, you know, before I didn't believe it either, until the Lord gave me a supernatural experience. And you may say, well, I would believe too if the Lord gave me a supernatural experience. The Lord says that people are saved by hearing the gospel. So tune your ears in. And that's why I'm asking the Lord to open your spiritual ears, your spiritual mind, your spiritual understanding and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Receive knowledge from the Lord. Receive salvation into your heart. That inner man of yours, you've got a spirit in there. When you die, that body that's laying there is really not you. The you is going to go on to be in eternity, either in heaven or in the lake of fire, hell in the lake of fire. So right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to pierce through the darkness. The Bible says that the whole world is asleep, lying in darkness, and that He sent His Son into the world, and we're part of His body. We're the continuation of the Lord's incarnation here on earth. He sent the Lord and His body into the world so that there'll be a light to shine for you to see. And of course, if our language was the same as yours, it would delight you. But the word of the Lord is a vexation, and it's foolishness to those of you who are going to go to hell. But the Lord says that it pleased Him that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And so therefore I've been called to preach this gospel to you. And Father, we ask that you open their hearts, their minds, their reprobate hearts, their rejected of God minds and their souls, their rejected souls, and open them up so that they'll want to be saved. So they'll be sick and tired of the kind of life there is without any consolation, that they're going to die and there's going to hell. There's no consolation in that. But Lord, open up their minds, their hearts and souls to be able to receive your Spirit, to receive the blood that you shed for them on the cross to wash all their sins away, and for you with the Father by the Spirit to enter in to their mortal life. souls so that they become immortal. And Lord, lift the church up higher, on higher ground, strengthen the church, and make them know, Lord, that you're observing everything that they're doing and all the things that they are not doing as well. And Lord, let their souls be saved, the people that are listening out in radio land. And we'll ask all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now where's the first letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay, let's hear it.
To the respected Pastor Alamo, greetings to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am from Andhra Pradesh of India. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you have sent me. May the Lord Jesus bless you abundantly. We are busy...
He really does bless me abundantly, so I don't worry about that. Because I don't. I just do the work of the Lord and let the Lord bless me, and He does. Then what?
We are busy in distributing those literatures and newsletters. Pastor, your literature has given a great impact in many of the people's lives, especially mass suicide has been a life-transforming tract in many young people's lives.
That's the piece of literature that we'll read next, after this, another Pearl Harbor, because it talks about the people of the world are committing mass suicide by not allowing themselves to get to receive the Lord. And I pray always that the Lord will use my mouth to say everything that He wants to be said. And a lot of people say, the Lord doesn't speak that way. I beg to differ with you. Why don't you read the Bible and you'll see the way the Lord really is. He's the same way that one that drowned the world. He's the same way that person that barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the same one that said He hates as well as loves certain people, and He hates certain people. And He's a God of wrath, fiery indignation, and judgment. The Bible, all of God's ways are judgment. He judges everything we say and do. And He's judging everyone. Everything that we do is something much better than a computer. Everything is being computed by the Lord. You can't get it off unless you are not saved yet, and then unless you repent and get it washed away with the blood of Jesus. Because only the blood of Jesus can take away sin. And then He says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and sin no more. And if you don't, if the gospel becomes so familiar to you that you ignore it, then you're in worse trouble than a person that doesn't even know the gospel, that has never heard it before, and just get saved. An unsaved person that gets saved now is much better than an old dog, somebody that's been saved for years, and then they decide to depart from the Lord and not do anything, to just sit around and just think that one job is theirs and that they don't need to be observant of everything around them. These are dogs that have gone back to their vomit, the Bible says. They're not pigs, sows that have gone back to the wallowing in their sin, their mud. Okay, let's continue on.
Thank you for sending those precious and wonderful materials to us. I am still receiving responses from many people.
See how on fire they are when they really get saved? They don't get tired of well-doing. The Lord says, be careful that you don't become weary in well-doing. That'd be like you working in a factory out in the world and you get tired of it to where you don't do anything anymore. Well, those are the people who won't keep you. There's all kinds of eager people that are young that want to come in and go to work and do a good day's job. Like if I was running a factory, or you were, and you saw somebody just sitting down on the job all day, and there's a line of people outside that want to go to work and do a honest day's work, you're going to get rid of that deadhead that's sitting on their rear end, and you're going to get rid of them and hire somebody that really wants to tear that place up for you. And that's the way the Lord is. He says, if you become lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, okay, and spew you out of my body. And so that's very important for people to get hot. He wants us red hot, full of fire, fuego. Otherwise, you're gone, and you're never going to come back. So don't get tired of well-doing. Don't be weary of well-doing, because if you do, that's a commandment that you break that will cause your soul to be stuffed into hell in the lake of fire. I'm not trying to use scare tactics. I'm just telling you what the Lord says. And if you want to take it that way, that the Lord is using some kind of cruel language to cause you to just work for nothing. If you think that entering the kingdom of heaven and staying out of hell is nothing, then you deserve, according to God, you deserve to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. And if you think that you're screaming and yelling and pleading and crying down there will do you any good, forget it. The Lord says he will not listen. Okay, I hope you capito, I hope you comprende, that you understand, that you verstehen. Okay? Capito, comprende, you understand, huh? Okay, then go.
We are busy in bringing souls to Christ. Please send us Telugu and English Bibles for the ones who are newly coming to the church.
See, this guy is on fire. You don't hear that in dead churches. You don't hear that. Yeah? Please, we want to save souls. We want to win them, and we see that your literature is doing it, so send it to us right away. This falls on deaf ears, on some of the people, even in my own church. So there's no one church alone that is immune from having dead people in it. But the Lord, we're living in the 11th chapter of Revelation, so the Lord is telling true pastors to get the dead people out. He says, measure them. The 11th chapter of Revelation, measure the people to see if they qualify to enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, measure them with the word of God. In other words, it's the same thing as telling, judge them with my word. Not with your judgment, but by my word. If they commit adultery, get them out of there. If they're committing, they don't care anything about souls. If people are calling and requesting and sending in faxes and emails with all kinds of questions, and they won't even give them to the leader of the church, that means that they're dead. And you have to remove them and put somebody in that is concerned, like this person here is. Don't you think?
Yes.
All right, so, you know, you people, even in my church, those of you that are dead or dying, get right, or else you have to leave. Because I will obey the Lord's commandments of measure them up. And the ones that don't measure up, put them outside the church with the Gentiles, the disbelievers, the unbelievers. Okay, then what does the rest of this zealous person say?
Especially, Pastor, you have sent us a letter telling us that you will send us some t-shirts and sweatshirts. Please send us some. We are in need of them, either black or white.
These are t-shirts that have the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries logo on it, on the front and back. And they were willing to send them to people that are distributors of the literature. Okay, and then what else?
Thank you for sending. We are daily praying for you and your ministry. Many blessings from God be with you and those people who are busy serving in your ministry. Thank you, yours and his work, Pastor Satyanandam from Andhra Pradesh, India.
So these people, the people think that these people in India are or not saved, and some in Africa. Why, there's more gospel over there, true gospel. I mean, I say there's all kinds of false prophets on TV and other places here in the United States, but over there, I mean, they're really on fire. Lots of born-again Christians there in India and Africa and the Philippines and other places in the world. Okay, then what?
The next letter?
Yes, where's that from?
From Benin, Africa.
Africa. We're just one station alone, we're hitting over 1.5 billion people there. 1.5 billion people. That's 1.5 billion souls that we are hitting in Africa. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, first of all, I want to address all my greetings to you and your ministry. I would also like to express my thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for your wonderful free gift. Dear Pastor, I have well received the literature and French Messiah books that you shipped to me. I have given this literature out to the heathen in the cities and countryside.
See, they call their own people heathen. There's some very strong black people that are bringing the gospel to their country, and they're doing their best to win the rest of these people there that are not yet saved. They're heathen, Gentiles. Okay, then what?
This has helped us win many lost souls. We are praying that you would send us some French Bibles and pamphlets. We need them to evangelize the people better who are not able to get the literature. We would really like it if you could send us a videotape in which you preach the good news. This would help us witness to others. Allow me to ask you some questions. How has the Lord blessed you that you have been able to bring help to all the countries of the world?
Okay, I'd like to answer these questions because the Lord wants you to be evangelized, and anyone that would tell it like it is, not caring if they offend carnal people at all, because when the Bible says to not offend one of his little ones, that doesn't mean unsaved people. If the gospel offends unsaved people, too bad. God doesn't care. He says, you know, that's fine. But you don't want to offend the Lord or the Lord's people. That's what the Lord says. He says it's better for a millstone that's so big that it must be driven by an ox to be hanged about a person's neck that offends one of his little ones. That means born-again Christians that are preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't make any statements like that if he says, my word offends a person that is unsaved or saved. He said, blessed is the person that is not offended at me. In other words, my word and my body, which is the people that are bringing my messages in the world today. So, you know, be careful about offending born of the Spirit Christians that are really bringing the gospel. Now, there's a bunch of people that are just crowds, millions of people are following them and everything, and they're just as haywire as the devil is, because they're preaching false doctrine. And if you don't know the Bible, you don't know whether they're preaching false doctrine or true doctrine. And you may swear by it because the person makes you feel good, you know, with the fallacy that they're telling you. It's just like the government tells you that they're going to raise the minimum wage scale. That makes you feel good, you know, real good. But if it's the Antichrist government, it's the same thing as sucking on the breast of asps or spider milk. Esau sold his soul for a bowl of porridge, like a little bowl of food, and that's what people are doing today. They're giving their souls away so they can stand in the cheese line and get themselves a box of cheese and some crackers or a bag of flour. And you're not trusting the Lord to feed you and to open up doors and give food unto you like he does us or anyone that's really serving him. So be careful about offending and learn that scripture. You know, you say, well, you offend me. And a lot of Muslims and a lot of false, like Roman Catholics, say that the gospel that I preach offends them. Well, that's just too bloody bad, because this is the word of God, and if God offends you, then he's going to offend you permanently for eternity. You're going to hell in the lake of fire because he doesn't care a continental toot whether you're offended, especially at his word. And that's why God is covering up a lot of cities in this world today with disease, infirmities, sickness. He calls it pestilence. And with water and hurricanes and tsunamis. And so because you're offending him, because you're offended at him. And he said, if you don't love his word, if his word offends you, he's going to send you strong delusion to make you believe a lie. And what lie? What lie will he make us believe? Hello, who is it? Jehovah's Witness, open the door. You open the door and let it come on in. They're the ones that will deceive you and send you, give you strong delusions, and also the Vatican and the Roman Catholic cult and Mohammedism, Islamism, Buddhism, and Hinduism and Shintoism and all the other isms in the world that are false. You're receiving delusions by these people, and God is allowing you to believe them. The Bible says, believe only on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That there's no other name given among men whereby you must, absolutely must be saved, but the name of Jesus. And so, if you don't agree with that, then you are operating under delusion, and God has made it that way that your souls might be damned. All right, now keep going.
I want to know if you were blessed before you started the work of God, or if it is from this work, the ministry, that the Lord has blessed you.
Are you, sir, you can't be serious. I was never blessed before until I got saved and began studying the scriptures and started doing, not just reading the Bible. So many people think that you're doing God a favor by you reading the Bible and praying. That isn't doing God a favor, that's doing you a favor, because you're receiving faith to be able to receive eternal life and healing and all the other things that the Lord blesses people with that seek Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. When I started doing that, that was the only time I've really been blessed in my life. Now, everybody is blessed in the world that they're able to breathe air and drink water and eat food and things like that. But you're not really blessed of the Lord until you're saved.
How could someone collaborate with you to do good evangelizing in Benin to honor the Lord? Could you come to visit us here in Benin for the glory of God? I am not going to finish without saluting the brothers and sisters in Christ who are helping you do God's work. Thank you for your understanding. God bless you, and may the peace of God always remain with you. Matthew from Benin, Africa.
Okay, what was the last thing he asked? Because the phone was ringing over here and I had to answer it because it wouldn't stop ringing unless I did.
How could someone collaborate with you to do good evangelizing in Benin?
Well, all you have to do is just request literature. And if you have any questions in regard to the Bible, just ask them. And I've been studying the Bible for going on 41 years now. And plus, I talk to the Lord all the time. And a lot of people say, well, who do you think you are that you know all the answers? I don't, but I study the Word of God, and I seek Him all the time, and He has all the answers, and He gives them to me. Okay? And if you call me or write me, I'll give the answers that God gave to me to you, and then you'll be wise. All right? Okay, so that's it for letters tonight. Amen?
Yes.
Now we have part 8 of another Pearl Harbor. Go ahead.
Quote, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
That only means that a lot of people give you different meanings of that, but that just means that God has got lots of time. Your life might be 10, 20, 50, 60, 70 years, and maybe 80, and very few 90 and 100 years, or maybe a little bit more. But that is like nothing to the Lord. It's like nothing. It's just like a little vapor. Because to Him, it tells you that 1,000 years. I mean, it's just the same thing as it would be to us as a day. Sometimes we go by a day, we sleep the day off, and it's But to God, he can go a whole thousand years, and it's just like a day. And before 10% of it is gone, 100 years, you're up there in front of him, and he's going to be saying, if you didn't do well, he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked. I never knew you. Now get into, and sling you right down, have his angels sling you down into hell in the lake of fire. So you think that you are, you know, because God doesn't sling you down there today because of all the evil that you're doing. Yeah, he just says, you know, I give you a chance. I'll let you stay here for a while and think you're getting by with stuff, but you just keep not believing my word. But one of these days, you're not going to be able to breathe anymore. And you're going to be right up here. And so, you're offended at me talking about, I hear one of the stations says that they're upset, a bunch of people calling in, because I tell the world what the Bible says about Catholicism. And I'm saying that all the people in Catholicism, there's a lot of wonderful people, they just need to get saved. Amen?
Amen.
And so that really irritates a bunch of demonic devils, like you complainers. But the radio station says, we're not taking him off the air. He has the right to the freedom of speech to assault like the rest of you wicked people, like you wicked people have, okay? You wicked people are saying, don't read the Bible, believe in evolution. You're doing your thing, so now let me do my thing, okay? Because I happen to be an earthling as well as you. But the difference is that I also am a spiritual person, and I have inherited the kingdom of God by believing his word. And so just, will you just please shut your wicked mouths before God shuts it for you? Because, you know, take a look at New Orleans. Take a look at Indonesia. Take a look at Pakistan. In many other places, there's 10,000 earthquakes a day, average, between 5 and 10,000, okay, we'll give or take. And there's a new storm starting again. And look at all the diseases. You know, even the news media is saying that this bird flu is escalating all the time, and they predict that there's going to be over one-third of the world population wiped out from it. That's 2 billion people. You might be next. Then cancer and heart trouble, and you're relying on a bunch of wicked scientists that they're going to let you live another 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, or 20 years. So what? You're still going to be standing before the Lord. They're not going to find immortality. This is just the devil trying to encourage you to continue on in your sin. Everybody dies. God said that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. That means you're not going to come back again. You're just going to die once, and that's it. It's finito. La commedia finito. In Italian, that means the comedy is over. It's finish. She's a finish. Okay? The comedy is final. It's over. And then you won't think things are so fun anymore. Okay, so it's best to crucify yourself on this side of eternity and do what the Lord said. That way you're insured of a real nice place when your spirit gets yanked out of your husk. Okay? Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Then what?
This statement is figurative. It means people die when they're children. Some die in their teens. Some die in their 20s or 30s, and some even die in their 50s, 60s, or 70s.
Some even 100. Okay, let's give them a few more years. The Lord is gracious. Okay, then what?
Some may live to be 90, 100, or possibly 120. However, God can afford to be patient with his judgment upon them, because he never dies.
And you do. And I do too. Don't, you know, you don't have to mock me. I know I die. Okay, then what else? But I'm already dead. I died out to this world so that I could be alive in the Lord. And you have to do the same thing if you want to go to heaven. Then what?
He lives forever. sooner or later, everyone will face him, whether they want to face him or not.
Yeah.
Then they will be judged for the things they have done, especially their blasphemy.
Or the things they haven't done. There's a lot of people that say they're Christians and they just sit around all day long and talk about nothing. Nada. A lot of nothing. Amen?
Yeah.
Mas de nada. A lot of nothing. Instead of a lot of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And what?
Quote, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Unquote. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. The spirit of the devil in them is exceedingly angry about this, but what can he do about it? Nothing! Exclamation mark. They're mere men made of dust! Exclamation mark. God's plan.
Now you are all mere men made out of dust of the ground, and the Lord only blew one breath in your nose. The Bible says, cease ye from man in whose nose is one breath, for how little are you to be accounted? You're just a little mud patty, you and I, with just one breath in our nose. Well, you might say, so I took two breaths. No, you just took two half breaths, which equals one breath, okay? And you'd want to give me dirty looks. Oh, that doesn't bother me. I've been getting them for 41 years, ever since I was saved. Okay? You despise me, and the feelings are mutual, because God despises you as well. All right? Okay, then what?
God's plagues soon shall have them. I was surprised to see that on March 5th, 2003, the Biography Channel reiterated that the Pope is in charge of all the kings, queens, and presidents, and that he is sovereign and answers to no one, not even God.
Yeah, to all the secular people, because the secular people bow down to him, but we don't, and that's what makes them so uptight with the Bible, because we believe it. Then what?
The Bible tells us in great detail about this proud man who exalts himself above God and all that is in heaven and on earth. The Bible plainly states that he is the Antichrist, the very embodiment of the devil.
Yeah, he's the head of the Antichrist, but the Antichrist itself is a corporate body. The entire corporate body is Antichrist, like the Rome and all of its associates, affiliates, like all those that have joined the One World Church or the United Churches. They are all part of the Antichrist, and the government that does the cults, the Roman Catholic cults' bidding, they are the enforcement part of the Antichrist movement. It's a corporate body of people, millions and millions of people. And then also the news media that is the mouth of the Antichrist, that tells all the lies and exalts these stinky, wicked, devil-possessed people that will never repent. There's so many of them that will not repent, and they are like an abomination into the nostrils of the Lord. He hates them. Okay? Then what?
We know that the Bible is true. Therefore, we know that this is a worldwide conspiracy by Satan through the Pope in Rome to rule the world. To do this, he will have to stifle the entire Word of God, then fill the world with his lies. He has. This has happened because of the lack of bold preaching of the Word of God. Saddam Hussein says he and his people are righteous. They can never be righteous unless they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, unless they obey every command of Jesus, and unless they totally give up their false religion. They think that God's people are doing these things to them, but it's not the people of God, the members of Christ's body. It's the Vatican who calls their false Roman Catholic religion Christianity. I refuse to call myself a Christian any longer because of them. I don't want to be mistaken.
I am a Christian, but I... I don't like to tell people that are Catholics that I'm one of them. I'm certainly not a Catholic, quote, Christian, unquote. I'm a real Christian because Christ is in me. That has to be changed. Then what?
I don't want to be mistaken for one of them. I call myself a member of Christ's body, a member of his true church.
Right.
Again, Jews, Muslims, and many others hate those who call themselves Christians because they think the ones who killed 6 million Jews and one and one half million Muslims were members of Christ.
Oh, it's far more than that, Muslims now. Many, many Muslims are being killed. When they started under the Pope's orders to bomb Iraq and a lot of these other Arabic countries, Muslim countries, then what?
They weren't members of Christ. They were barbarians, wicked Catholics, the founders of Nazism, socialism, fascism, and every other evil ism in the world. They have also killed millions of members of Christ's church and numerous nationalities of people in every part of the world. Members of Christ's body, his true church, have never killed anyone. They never will. We pray for everyone to be saved. We also pray, quote, Father, if they refuse your salvation in the name of Jesus, then, Father, we pray you will avenge us of them.
All right, bind them on earth. We bind them here on earth in our prayer. And, Lord, we pray that you will bind them from heaven and in heaven, that you will do something to them. And we see that you're doing what we're praying, Lord. And they're calling you Mother Nature. Isn't that something? And that it's a natural disaster when you plainly show us in the Bible that it's a supernatural disaster that you have ordered from your throne in heaven. Okay, then what?
Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, unquote. He promised he will, and his promises are true. God hates anyone who avenges themselves. This is why he said regarding Cain, quote, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, unquote. Genesis chapter 4, verse 15. Quote, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, unquote. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. One of the Ten Commandments is, quote, Thou shalt not murder, unquote. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, original Hebrew. God himself wants to be the one to take vengeance upon all those who murder godly people, as wicked Cain murdered his godly brother, Abel. Anyone who takes vengeance upon any person who has killed a godly person will receive sevenfold vengeance from God. This is because God and God alone wants to take vengeance on those who kill his precious anointed people.
He wants to enjoy it. He doesn't want anybody else to enjoy it. He loves to do that. It says that he destroys them wonderfully. Then what?
And he doesn't want anyone to interfere with him. God hates people who kill his highly favored and anointed people so much that he and he only is the one who wants to avenge them. God can dismantle and destroy a wicked person in a far more tormenting way than any mere human in the world. And after he's finished terrorizing and tormenting them while they are on earth, he will make them spend eternity in the hottest place in hell and in the lake of fire. If you think you can do a better job of vengeance than God, you will receive 7 times more punishment than a man who kills God's child, a godly man.
And also because you're taking enjoyment away from the Lord. The Lord enjoys. He says he enjoys. It's wonderful to him to destroy the wicked. Well, you say, well, I thought God was the God of love. Oh, yeah, he loves to destroy unrepentant sinners. That's another way that he loves. You know, it's just another form of his love. Amen?
Amen.
If somebody was blaspheming his Son and the blaspheming the Holy Spirit, he enjoys destroying them, and he enjoys sending them strong delusions so that they can be deceived enough to where there'll be such a tremendous shock when they enter hell in the lake of fire. If you read the first chapter of Proverbs, you'll see that you say, where does it say that he enjoys it? Well, in the first chapter of Proverbs, it shows that he laughs at your calamity. That sounds like he's having fun. Amen?
Amen.
God has to have fun. Amen?
Amen.
But God's going to have fun with you if you don't repent. He says that when he sees you going out into hell and you start screaming and pleading for him to have mercy on you, he starts mocking you. You say, oh God, please. And he says, oh God, please. And then he starts laughing at you. Can you imagine how sorry of a person you are to think that you're going to get by with the stuff that you're doing today and that God isn't going to have fun with you? God has to have fun too, you know? I marvel at his patience, though. He waits so long before he has fun with a bunch of people that are funning with him. Because he has his day. So like if 1,000 years is like a day to him, why, it isn't more than the first tenth of the day that he's going to be seeing you. That he's going to be calling your name. Mm-hmm. And then the king of terrors is going to come and drag you out of your body. And then what? Oh, Lord, I'll do good now. And he'll, please, God, don't. And he'll go, please, God, don't. He said, oh, God, don't. He'll go, oh, God, don't. No, God. He'll go, no, God. And then he'll start laughing at you. Just like you're laughing at him right now. And those that preach the gospel. You know, if I was God, I don't know why. He's just so merciful to wait so long to give you a chance to get saved. Why don't you take the opportunity and do it now? Ask the Lord to enter your heart and wash you with his blood from all your sins so that you don't hear the ring of his laughter in your ears as you're going down the spiral tube down into the lake of fire, to hell in the lake of fire. Say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood. I know you won't turn me away because your word says, all that called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wash all my filthy sins away. You won't turn me away because your word says so, and I believe it. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And just raise your hands up and start praising and thanking the Lord. You say, yeah, you're just using... I'm not using... I'm telling you what the word of God is. Crack open your Bible, dust it off first. And then open up God, because the Bible says the word of God is God, and then see if I'm telling you a lie. Read the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Okay, and then start reading the whole Bible. All right, then what?
This is why God stated in the Old Testament, quote, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink.
Sure, I mean, because, you know, they're going to go to hell anyway. Just help them out. That's why God allows you people to eat and drink and sleep and make a few bucks to buy a little house and a car and pay your little utility bills and get yourself credit cards and go into debt and everything like you're doing. But he blesses you. He's a good God. But say it's, and then he lets the sun shine on you. He lets you breathe air. And sometimes he lets you get healed. But he is going to judge everyone according to whether they did the work of the Lord or not, whether they were born again of the Spirit or not. So So, you know, you've got to get saved. No man can enter into the kingdom of heaven any other way. And there's no name given among men in this entire universe but the name of Christ that you can get saved. So you might as well give up Buddha, that piece of rock, that stone that's carved, or wood, you Gentile idol worshippers. And you might as well forget about some man, Muhammad, because he's just a piece of dirt. He's dead. He never rose from the dead. There's no life in him. Never was, never will be. And all the other false, the Pope is as phony as a $15.27 bill. So, you know, you have to go to the Lord, not the Pope. Now, not me, either. I can't save your soul, but I can sure tell you how to get saved. And that's what I'm doing. And it's very simple. Even a little child that comes to the Lord as a little child believing him can be saved right now. All right, so just say the prayer. And if you don't have a tape recorder, you can order any one of my pieces of literature, and it has the sinner's prayer right on the back. So call our phone room or email us. It's
LamoMinistries.com.
Right. And just email us or go down to Kinko if you don't have a fax machine or a... And our fax machine is what?
Area code 479-782-7406.
All right. So let's continue.
For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee, unquote. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21 through 22. In the New Testament, Jesus said, quote, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, unquote. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 28. God, through Paul, repeated this statement from the Old Testament, quote, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, unquote. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. When Jesus was dying on the cross, atoning for our sins before the eyes of God's enemies, he stated, quote, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, unquote. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. This was because they were so far into Satan's darkness. While God's enemies were stoning Stephen to death, he looked up, saw Christ standing in the heavens, and said to the Lord, quote, lay not this sin to their charge, unquote. Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 60. The Apostle Paul by the Spirit stated, quote, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law of God, unquote. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, original Greek.
Now, the reason I preach the rough and tough gospel that I do is because nobody else is doing it. I have to preach the hellfire and brimstone part of the gospel because you just hear people talking about their husbands and their wives and, you know, about marriage and things like that. But there's not anybody talking about the wrath of God. And there's so many people that say, Jesus just loves you. Sweet Jesus loves you. But the Bible says that when sweet Jesus comes back, people, unsaved people, and the wicked of the earth are going to be praying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of sweet Jesus. All right? Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Amen. So, if somebody's got to do this job of telling them the other side of the gospel, the whole gospel, and so I guess it's left up to me. It's such a thankless job. I was riding on a ship to Israel, and some of the United Nations people were in there, and they says, Tony, we're bringing the peace in Israel. I said, you're not going to bring any peace here. He says, yes, we are. And he says, and we've been doing it for years, and it's such a thankless job. I says, only God is going to bring peace here. And so I like to use their term, it's such a thankless job. Yes, because there's no peace there, is there?
No.
So why should anyone thank him? Now they're giving away the land that God gave to them. If they would just repent, if they would just accept the true Messiah, the one and only true Messiah, God would start moving for them in Israel. All right? And so until then, it's just going to be one terrible thing after another. Then what?
Nowhere in the New Testament does God tell anyone who has God's power to murder anyone. A true member of Christ's body, his church, would pray to God. Quote, Lord, we know that every nation has weapons. Lord, we tell them not to use them. We tell everyone to become a member of your body so that they can pray to you and you can do the avenging. Unquote. One thing we do know is that there are rulers of the darkness in this world, rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, reader, no one can avenge themselves without going to hell.
Reader and now listener. Okay, then what?
The job of avenging belongs to God and God only. If everyone believed this way, everyone would turn in their weapons of mass destruction. They would get saved and let God avenge them, and
especially the United States of America, we've got more weapons of mass destruction than anyone else. What if a searching crew came over here to find? Well, they'd find piles of them over here in other places like China and Russia. Amen?
Amen.
I don't believe there's any danger of weapons of mass destruction to those people over there that are living in caves and haven't got enough money. They don't have two dimes to rub together to get a cup of coffee. Okay, what else?
They would get saved and let God avenge them, and God certainly would avenge them. One thing we do know is that there are, quote, rulers of the darkness of this world, rulers of spiritual wickedness in high places, unquote, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. They love to use carnal weapons. War is a glorious recreation to the wicked. They will be before God soon, and they are not going to like what He's going to eternally do to them.
They also use spiritual weapons. They use lies to undermine the work of God, to attempt to do that. But if more people would be like me, they wouldn't be able to do it, because the true Word of God will push them right in the corner. And especially when we're quoting scriptures and verses here. All right, well, now I see that our time is gone again. We're going to be bringing part 9 tomorrow. And I really pray that you will tune in, because we're just got a few more of these parts in this series of Another Pearl Harbor. And it saves you a lot of time and trouble to just be listened to, especially if you're commuting back and forth in your automobile, and it gives you something to listen to every day and will empower you and make you aware of the evil things and the good things that are happening in this world today. And it should encourage your heart a lot, because, as I said, the coming of the Lord is at hand because of the great falling away of the church, and the devil has entered into the temple of God, which is the born-again Christians, many of them. And that's one of the last signs before the Lord comes back to earth again, except now we're going to see a lot of these plagues. They're going to get worse and worse. What you've seen is nothing in comparison to what's going to happen. Well, anyway, until tomorrow, part 9 of Another Pearl Harbor, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord, God bless you. Amen.